Welcome to The Truth About Public Sector with Hannah Quinn Hill. Join me as we cut through the jargon and dive deep into the realities of public sector procurement policy and operations. Each episode brings honest conversations, expert insights, and no-nonsense discussions about the challenges, successes, and behind-the-scenes workings of the sector. Whether you're a seasoned professional, a newcomer, or just curious about how the public sector really operates, this is the podcast for you. So let's get to the truth and let's get started. I'm really excited to be joined today by Natalia Silver, who is a director at Local Partnerships. Hi, Natalia, how are you?
I'm really good and so happy to be here and talk to you all about the different things we do.
So much to go through. There's so much to dive into because your organisation and what you do is incredible. I am really conscious that outside of local authority and potentially wider public sector, people may not be aware of local partnerships and what it is you do. So if we could start there, would you mind giving us a brief overview of you and your organisation?
Yeah, definitely. So Local Partnerships is quite unique, actually. It's a joint venture between the Local Government Association, the Treasury and Welsh Government. And we do work exclusively for the public sector, and they're our owners, and we will do work for owners, but also separate commissions as well. So I'm involved in lots of different work with local partnerships, supporting mainly local authorities, but also other public bodies. And so we'll work a lot on procurement and contract management, as you know, because of the Procurement Act.
Yes.
But also things like leisure or transformation. I've been doing some work on community asset transfers. So it's pretty diverse what I get involved in.
Really diverse. And actually, if we could almost bring that to life a bit, because if I'm Joe Public and I don't really understand potentially what procurement is or what the local authority does within procurement or how that works, you know, what does a typical day look like for you, if it's possible to give us a typical day?
Yeah, I don't think I have a typical day, but for me, for what I do and the role I do, is that it's very much about guiding, advising, facilitating local authorities and other public bodies with issues they might have. And as I said, it's been quite a lot about procurement recently in terms of getting ready for the Act as well. So I will travel in different parts of England and Wales, facilitating work with local authorities, really getting to the nub of any issues that they're trying to grapple with. And then the other part of that is we do a lot of work on Teams now, lots of authorities have people working from home. So we do a bit of troubleshooting, sorting things out with them, and then obviously doing all of the outputs which go with that as well. And also during the day, you try and squeeze in some time for training and some thinking time wherever you can get that in.
If it's possible, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it sounds really exciting. I know that we haven't had a podcast yet where Procurement Act hasn't been mentioned, mainly because it has been such big news across the public sector. What I'd be really interested in, actually, is what drew you to procurement and the public sector initially? Because everyone's got a different journey when it comes to this.
Yeah, unusually. I mean, I started as an arts officer. And, you know, some of my thinking has really been influenced by that in terms of using creativity.
Yeah.
It's like I don't do that right, you know in the thing, you know, how you think about it, but you can apply that to lots of different things that you do, just thinking differently, thinking out of the box, looking, horizon scanning, all of those things actually need creative skills. But in terms of for me, I've been in local government a long time. I use the joke a lifer. And I just rose through the ranks, and local government was very much, I really believe in it. I think it's so valuable. It changed people's lives. It adds value. You know, it really recognises that. And procurement became part of my portfolio of services. I ended up becoming a service director for corporate services, as you know, after a sort of long history of doing frontline services. And it was I've done procurements a lot through my career, but actually when it became one of my services, I realised how valuable it is in terms of the spend power local authorities have, in terms of the difference it can really make to people. But on the flip side of that, the trouble that you can get in as a local authority if you don't do it well.
Yes.
So it's really about keeping the organisation safe, secure, good governance, good assurance, really good value for money. And those things are so core to the ethos of public sector.
And that's, it's firstly, first person that I've spoken to that's come from an art background and gone in. And I would imagine it's that creativity and ability to think outside the box that supported your rise through the ranks to get to the position you're in now. It's that partnering and looking for the solution rather than the blockers that's so important as a skill set. From your position and what you've seen, what are the big challenges facing local government and you know, what has changed about that over the last 5 to 10 years?
I think particularly in terms of local government specifically, the focus on quite challenging services. So particularly adults and social care, you've seen a real strong profile on that. They're statutory services and they're really difficult to solve for a whole load of reasons. But particularly in terms of within procurement, capacity is always one which comes out a lot when we talk to local authorities. But as well as capacity, it's having the right skill set. And we've done some work together as well, haven't we, in terms of what skills you need relating to the Procurement Act, but going forward, what do you really need to think about in terms of capacity and the capability element? So it's very much about doing the right thing. I do a lot of process mapping within local authorities, so end-to-end commissioning. So how do you start? How do you finish? How do you award? All of those sort of things. And getting it streamlined and getting out the inefficiencies can then give people the time to get the right skills in place and create that capacity as well. So, and I suppose that's one of the key things, which is really a big issue, particularly in procurement for people.
Yes, yeah, and I've heard that myself when I've spoken to people in the sector, is that often people are so overloaded with requirement that they are having to work very transactionally as procurement professionals, when what they really want to do is be more strategic and look at, as you call it, horizon scanning, what's coming up, how can we support that procurement to be the best it's going to be and as thorough and well governed, but as sustainable and deliver as much value as we possibly can. And that's really hard when you haven't got that skill set in the team or when you haven't got that staffing availability to be able to do that. That's really tough, and that's when people like you are so invaluable to be able to come and process map that and look at that and see what, you know, if this is good, what could brilliant be, you know. That's the key, isn't it?
Exactly. And I suppose our role is very much facilitating people's thinking.
Yes.
So that they will know what needs to improve, what needs to develop, and we do it with people at all different levels of the organisation and coming from different angles. So it's great when you see procurement colleagues talking to legal because they think that there's a blockage there, but there's a knot here. So actually solving the problems together is really lovely to see. And also if those improvements come from the team, rather than me as a consultant going and say, you should do this better, it means there's a great deal more of ownership and they want to see those improvements happening.
And that's important, isn't it? Everybody, you know, I often say the temperature's set at the top of an organisation. And actually, if everybody's aligned at the top and they're filtering that message down thoroughly and consistently, then you feel that in an organisation from everywhere, you know. So I, very rarely do I disagree, actually, Natalia, but I absolutely do agree with what you said there. So in that case, with what you've seen and what you've worked on and those conversations you've had, what sort of innovative approaches have you taken that you can share with us that have supported, you know, better processes, better procurements?
I think getting the end, getting the start and the end right, which it sounds really, really simple in terms of that, but actually the bit in the middle with procurement is where you go through the processes. It's really become quite refined and quite professional, and everybody knows what they're doing. It sort of feels like that's really evolved over the last few years to get really solid. What we find where councils are getting it really right is where they link what they want to achieve to their objectives within the organisation. And they're really planned in how they do that. So it's easy to correlate what you're going to do back to your corporate plan or your objectives. And that makes it really clear in terms of your really strong specification. And that includes all your KPIs or your measures, all of those sort of things are really strong right at the beginning. And then at the end, when you go to your contract management side, is that you know exactly what needs to be delivered and it's picked up. So many times I hear that you do this beautiful procurement, it's really got a really good result. And then at the end of it, it sort of sometimes it feels like it's been dropped off a cliff and nobody's picking up and running with it.
Yeah.
So that's where the contract management side comes into play. And again, going back to the Procurement Act, it's got a focus on contract management, which is so helpful to see, definitely.
And that's quite a big change, isn't it, for a lot of procurement professionals where they have been so overloaded with transactional procurement, to have an opportunity to build supplier relationships and to manage them post award and to support stakeholders with that is quite exciting, I think.
I think it is very exciting in terms of that, and there's some opportunities there which, you know, we have still got to be explored, and I think local authorities can be at the forefront of that. So particularly the competitive flexible procedure, what does that mean? What are the opportunities for that? People are a bit nervous about it at the moment, but there's going to be a few who are going to come up and right say, right, I'm going to really make the most of this. And I think all the things around engagement as well is really helpful in terms of demonstrating that there is value to having your specifications really locked into what you want to achieve and the impact you want to make. And then that conversation with suppliers to say, okay, this is what I want to achieve. How can you help us do that and have those early conversations? So then when you do go for a procurement, you know it's realistic and it's achievable as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so in terms of, because the Procurement Act has been the hot topic for, it feels like, years now, doesn't it? It's yeah. It's really gone on, and now it's live and we're in it and we're looking to see, you know, who's going to be completing the first Procurement Act 2023 procurement, what's that going to look like and all those kinds of things, see if there's going to be any case law that people can follow. You know, what has been the biggest, you know, key change you think for local authority with that? Because there's lots of things that have changed, but which one do you think is the big one in terms of local government?
I think there's quite a lot in there, and I suppose the clever thing about it, and there's quite a lot I like about the Procurement Act, is that it actually builds on what local authorities were doing or what they wanted to do. So it's not a million miles away from some of the practice which was happening. It just builds on it. I think the question about some of the biggest is, I suppose, some of the more transparency around it. And it's an interesting one because local authorities are really transparent. There's this myth that we hide things, that you know, we do these things cloak and dagger behind closed doors and stuff. You know, you can find virtually anything local authority does if you know where to find it. So, you know, there's things like you can see every spend over £500. It's amazing, you know, how transparent local government is. But actually, I think what this does through the central digital platform is bring a lot of that together. Mm. So it means that it's going to be quite easy to see the relationship with suppliers, what's been procured, what's coming up as the pipelines. interestingly direct awards. You can see why there's going to be direct awards, which is going to make some local authorities a bit nervous when they don't use them correctly or compliantly. So I think the transparency is definitely the big one. And I love the idea of the pipeline as well. So again, this is really trying to nudge authorities and all contracting authorities to be much more prepared, you know, so it's influencing those behaviours as well as it being regulation.
Yes, and it's that transparency and that pipeline that I always thought was potentially the biggest change, because it's, you know, it's taking people from being on the back foot in procurement and being asked to deliver something when it's potentially already to the nth degree in the project plan, to actually involving them in the PMO from the start. You know, what are the plans, what we're looking to deliver this year, which is really exciting. Do you think that local authority was ready and prepared for these changes?
So definitely. I think the challenge local authorities have had, and it does depend a little bit on your scale. So some of the smaller local authorities definitely struggled a bit because of just having the resources. But I think all local authorities had this legislation come forward, which was very comprehensive, combined with having to deliver the day job, which is already demanding anyway. So I think that was where the challenge has come through. I think the future challenge is about embedding it across their councils. So ensuring that everybody knows now, and that sometimes historic practices are going to have to change. Now, they struggled with that anyway, but now with the new regulations, people are very used to how they've done procurements and like sometimes the way they've done it. Think some of that is going to have to change, and that's got to filter across the organisation. And I think that goes through people who do ad hoc procurements right through to the senior management who don't do procurements regularly. So they might have a perception in their mind about how things are done, but that's going to change. That's going to change now.
I hope so, because I know that, I mean, when we first met Natalia and started speaking, it was at a conference. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that comes up very regularly when I speak at conferences, and I know you've probably had this question as well, is how, you know, how do you get a board to really value procurement? How do you get your voice at that level as a procurement professional? And I think it's all these things that the Procurement Act is bringing and more. You know, it's that pipeline planning, it's the visibility, it's the supplier engagement, it's all of that great stuff that you've spoken about that's really going to elevate procurement and the value of procurement in local authority to the next level, isn't it? But alongside all of that, there's the pressures around social value and the requirements to deliver social value and think about collaboration and future trends, which I know is very much your expertise as well. So now that social value is a more major factor, it's always been there, but it is more major in procurement decisions, what role do you see it playing in shaping the future of local government procurement?
So social value is, I love social value. It's brilliant, isn't it? So it's great because it's added value onto your procurement and contract. And to your question, I think if you can relate that to what you want to achieve in terms of your corporate goals, then I think you've got such a win-win situation. And from what I can tell, and this is something, goes back to one of your previous questions, actually, about what's changed. Social value is really kicked in with local authorities. I think a lot of them are recognising the benefits it can bring, and suppliers are embracing it as well. So that it's there. I think there's the issue is making sure that you maximise the value of social value. So a little bit of a bugbear of mine is when you say, all right, the suppliers, you're going to get points because you do an apprenticeship or you employ somebody, or da, 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 all of that sort of stuff. Well, they should be doing that anyway. And this is where you sort of push the door a little bit and really think deeply about what can you maximise from social value? What are the things that you really want to get to grips with within your community that can benefit from it? And I think the flip side of that is also measuring and monitoring what you have achieved and shouting about it, and not leaving the measuring of social value to the end of the contract, but yes, actually use it in the measure it in the same way as you do your KPIs, hopefully. You do them regularly throughout the contract to make sure it's on track, but include social value measures in that as well, and treat it in the same way. It's a commitment from the supplier, so you should treat it as a commitment, not just as an extra thing. This is integrated into what you've done as part of your brilliant procurement.
And I think that is so important, isn't it? That idea that it's not just a box ticking exercise. It needs to be a real part of the contracts that you're awarding as a local authority. And, you know, challenge the suppliers to think creatively about how they can put social value in, not just into their, you know, into their bids, but also into how they deliver that and how they report that. I think is absolutely key, because, I mean, as a supplier myself, I haven't been challenged in terms of the social value delivery, and I would welcome that, and I think suppliers generally would welcome it.
And I think people have been so busy trying to do the day job that those sometimes things are seen as extras, where yeah, it'd be some the good authorities are integrating that into their whole contract management and procurement process. But sometimes just, you know, having to juggle with all of those competing demands. You know, I often use a diagram which is sort of like got a diamond in the middle where the procurement team are, and they're getting all these sort of pressures from everywhere else. So you've got your, you know, you've got your legislation, you've got your corporate requirements, you've got your services, you've got your suppliers all putting pressure on these fantastic procurement teams, and they're just trying to balance everything, and they're trying to support everybody and everything. And that's where, you know, the pressure point sometimes comes in for them.
Absolutely. And so in that case, do you think, you know, maybe if organisations said to suppliers, how should we track and manage and KPI it, and can you create that reporting, do you think that would lift and ease some of that workload? Is that even a thing that could, I mean, I'm layman's, you know me, I'm not SIPs qualified, so is that even allowed?
Definitely. So again, one of the things that we hear from local authorities about this dropping off the cliff when, you know, you have contract management, is actually some of the fundamentals about monitoring the contract as you go along. And I mean, just from my own experience of managing big contracts, is as soon as you let some of that slip, it becomes custom and practice. So really early on, developing that relationship where you say, right, you're going to send us these reports based in this format which suits the authority. You're going to give the information to us in advance, and it's going to include these elements. So it's part of our responsibility, and I say our because I still think I'm in local government, to actually make that 100% clear of those requirements that you've got, you expect. They should all be in the specification, but it handover from procurement to contract management, having that really clear what's expected from the supplier, and don't let them slip on it, because as soon as that happens, that it will happen again. And that's not down to sort of be negative in terms of suppliers, but this is a partnership. We want to celebrate that partnership together.
Yes. Yeah. And that's how real partnerships are delivered. It's the mutual understanding. It's that back and forth and that conversation, actually, isn't it? It's that, not just the reporting, but the consistency of contact that's key as well. So my next question is a bit of a wild card question. If you could change one thing about public sector procurement today, what would it be?
Right, a today question.
Yes, so right now.
Right now, I think, right, it's a bit of a magic wand, and it's part here, but I would love a really good software system, mm-hmm. which had the end-to-end commissioning life cycle. So oh, wow. And really, really easy to use. And there are some out there, there's systems out there which do part of it. But if that could be in place, that would help local authorities so much in terms of just managing the process. I think you mentioned earlier on in our conversation about PMO, so project management, is that we're finding that procurement officers have to be project managers.
Yes.
You know, they don't give themselves that label.
Nope.
But that's what they have to do because it's a process to go through. And if they had something to support them to go through that, I think that would be a massive benefit for them. And a little twist on that is any data and insights which come out of that would then help in terms of profiling what's been happening with procurement and contract management as well.
Absolutely. And I am really passionate, you know, about that skill set side of things and the project management side of things. And it's been such an interesting change over the last decade in procurement, where you're absolutely right, procurement has become project management in terms of that process, making sure things are run correctly, making sure the stakeholders are engaged and that they're kept on that journey, you know, and that change in skill set has been fascinating, and has led to some funky job titles that might surprise you. So procurement project manager, senior project procurement, you know, all those kinds of things are coming out now, which is really exciting to bring that to the forelight of what's happening. And I think actually there's going to be some tech companies that listen to this and jump on that straight away, Natalia, and like, oh, we could do that. So so that's good. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
If people want to learn more about you and local partnerships and what you do to support local authorities, where's the best place for them to look? Where can they find out about it?
Yeah, I mean, just look on our website. It's a pretty comprehensive website. It's got all of our profiles, contact details. We've also got tons of free tools as well. So we've been doing a partnership now with Crown Commercial Services for about a couple of years relating to the Contract Management Pioneer Programme. And as part of that, oh my goodness, we've got about over 20 tools now, which we've developed with local authorities. So each one is tested. Mm. So to be relevant to how councils work, and all of those are other templates or guidance, all downloadable. And also similar, we've got the toolkit for business process mapping, which enables local authorities to do their own process mapping. So you don't have to pay for us to come in and facilitate, you can do it yourself. And that's just been updated with a focus on the Procurement Act and some of the key points there as well.
And it's absolutely amazing. And I don't just say that because there's a little bit from me in there, but also because it is genuinely so well written that I think even if you are a new beginner in the procurement world, it's so understandable, you know, it really is. And the tools are very smooth and easy to use. So yeah, I hope lots of people go and check those out, and that you get lots of people having a look at that. If people want to connect with you personally, Talia, are they okay to do that? You on LinkedIn and places like that?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. Email me, phone me. I think it's all open, all available from the website, of course. Yeah, definitely. I love talking to local authorities. I mean, as you can tell, it's like I really appreciate the work local authorities do. I think it's such a exciting area. It's such a procurement and contract management. It's such an exciting time at the moment with all the changes and the opportunities. So I'm always happy to talk to local authorities, definitely.
And I'm so relieved. I'm not the only procurement nerd out there, as I confess myself to do that. So, yes, please do reach out to Natalia if you are interested in talking about these things. Check out local partnerships and all their tools and everything that they've got available. Natalia, thank you so much for joining this podcast. I am really, really grateful. And always, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you.
Same. Brilliant, Hannah.